We're going to switch gears here now. We're going to talk a little local soccer because, you know, soccer is a big part of our lives. We got Inter Miami taking over. We got all kinds of other things going on in the world of soccer. And so my man Chris Corey is all over it, and he is doing some special stuff in town, but we got a bunch of things going on, and so I want to talk to him and bring him aboard here. Chris, how you doing, my brother?
What's going on, Big O?
I am loving life, my man. I just I can't complain. Everything going well here with the podcast. People are supporting it like crazy, and we are really, really proud of what we're able to build here. So we're excited about the Big O Show podcast, man. It's going really, really well. How about you?
Well, there's definitely a big buzz about your show in the community, man. I'm so proud of you and happy that that you know you're getting all the cred that you deserve, man. You've been a stalwart here in South Florida for a long time.
I appreciate that, man. And one of the things that I've done on radio for 30 years, I've been very supportive of the sport of soccer at all levels. And I know that you're doing something at a level that needed to get done because there's a lot of problems in local soccer. And inclusivity is one of those things. And so tell me a little bit about what's going on with Inter Miami and the views and everything going on with soccer right now locally and what you're trying to accomplish.
Cool. Well, it all started in 2018 when I got irrationally angry about the U.S. missing the 2018 World Cup. I don't think I was the only one. I'm pretty sure you were in that boat.
Everybody, dude. Yes, yes. Disgusting. So considering our athletes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. So basically what happened is I had a hypothesis that the U.S. wasn't putting the best 11 guys on the field and that it wasn't on the top level. Everybody blames U.S. soccer. They blame, you know, our development system on the high levels. And I took a look at the grassroots level. And, you know, we came up over the course of the last year and a half with this development plan to kind of fix the soccer at the grassroots level in the United States, man.
Well, and we all know that at the grassroots level, those that are parents, they have to deal with kind of a shady type of business that's going on. And it's not like we're all really looking out for the kids or providing everything that we should be providing. There's a lot of people that are looking for handouts and just looking to better themselves, not necessarily the kids.
I would just say that in the United States, we've built a system where there are so many fees involved in allowing your child to play youth soccer that it's created a huge barrier to inclusivity, which is what we're talking about here. The huge financial barrier, I mean, most parents can't afford $6,000-$7,000 a year to put their kid in a competitive youth soccer club. That's just the reality. But those are the reality of the fees. It's what it costs.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And for those that, because just in case, if we got parents that are listening and they've got kids that are, you know, young and maybe they're going to start getting into soccer, Chris, let's walk them through what the model is right now for youth soccer development, because that way they kind of get to know what's ahead and what are the roadblocks and all the other things that get in the way of maybe possibly your child not really reaching his or her potential because of the politics that are involved?
Well, it's politics, but mainly it's cost. And here's where the difference is between the United States and the rest of the world, is that we are so big as a country geographically that it's really hard for government programs and state-funded support programs to really get to youth clubs. It's just not a priority. The rest of the world doesn't have that problem. I mean, England's basically the size of Florida and Georgia, so they can concentrate all their resources on that. If the United States only had to focus their governmental resources on Florida and Georgia, then the cost wouldn't be so high. But what you have now is if a parent goes to try and sign their kid up for youth soccer, first of all, it's a $2,000 registration fee at many clubs. That's just before you get started. That's just registration fees. Then there's a $200 a year uniform fee. Then there's a lot of times $150 a month coaching fee. And then every tournament they participate in, a lot of times that's $100 to $125 for that fee. So as you can see, it starts to build up. And that's before you travel to any tournament or you do anything extracurricular with your kid, put them in a camp or anything so that they can continue to excel. So I think right there you can see where the barrier is for most parents.
Yeah, exactly. If you can't afford it, then your kid will not get the opportunity that he or she ends up deserving in the process. And I know that you've lived this life. You've lived through those experiences as a kid growing up through the system. And then you've also, you got your two kids that are also going through this kind of a system. What motivated you to say, I got to change this?
I just go back to the 2018 World Cup. It didn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense to me, though, that the United States and all of our amazing athletes we have here and the size of our country and how much we focus on sports, that we were that bad. But it's true. We were that bad. And if you look at it, the way that we develop talent in the U.S., we don't throw a blanket over the country and then start funneling our talent up. It starts with a barrier of cost. So what Vias does, Vias Soccer is meant to basically coordinate all of the for-profit and non-profit and governmental agencies under one umbrella to make deals to reroute sustainable money to these youth clubs so that they can eliminate that registration fee. We're going after that registration fee. We think that that $2,000 a year is the biggest hurdle for parents. And we're very proud to be underway at Cutler Ridge Soccer and Little Haiti Football Club for the past few months. And we're in there to make a difference. We're in there for sustainability for the next 100 years. And we're in there to help the United States on the top level.
Well, explain to people what the what is it, V-I-U-S, V-I-S Soccer or V-I-U-S? How do you pronounce it? What is Soccer World?
It's V-I-U-S.
V-I-S.
For vertically integrate U.S. soccer.
All right, so
because by eliminating that barrier, we're able to really reach into the roots and go grassroots and pull out all the talent. And at the same time, giving every kid, whether they're going to be a professional athlete or not, the ability to learn from the sport the way I did, the way so many people in our community have.
So, okay, now why is... Tell us how you're able to put this all together and who's helping you put all of this together to try to make it, you know, make soccer affordable and make it, what is it, pretty much make everybody, give everybody an opportunity in those communities in order to play the game.
If you're talking about who's making this possible, you have to talk about the people at Cutler Ridge Soccer and Little Haiti Football Club. Those people that volunteer their time to go in there and operate those clubs. It's a lot of work. They had a lot of vision to trust that what we were doing was completely for the benefit of those clubs, right? They're taking a big risk. I mean, it's never been done before. Oh, think about it. If you went to a parent and said, hey, can you afford $2,000 a month, then $150 a month, then tournament, they say no. But if you say, hey, listen, here and there, there's a fee of $150, $200. You know, here and there, they can afford that, right? We're getting rid of that barrier. So the ability to execute this started and will remain with those great people at Cutler Ridge Soccer and Little Haiti Football Club and any new club that we sign on to work under our VS model.
What do people have to do if maybe somebody's listening and they want to help you in this initiative to make all of it happen? Because I know that there are gradual steps with all of this, because I know you're getting most of the funding and then you'll have maybe all of it in the next couple of years to make it nice and easy or easier for the folks in Cutler Ridge Soccer and Little Haiti Football Club.
If people are listening, what I really love the message to be is that this sport is way more than a sport, right? You look at what it's done for our community just since the Moss brothers and Beckham have come in, the buzz that it's created, unity that it's created, its ability to teach our youth is huge. What I want the message to be out there, is that it's for everybody. Right. We need to knock down those financial barriers that were just kind of built organically, man. They were built because there's a high demand for the sport in our country. So the cost just kept going up. But what happened is the cost went up to the detriment of our youth and the detriment of our U.S. development program. I mean, think about it. I mean, in Germany, they completely redid their entire youth system in the 90s because they were just like, it's not working. You know, and they didn't even miss a World Cup. We missed the World Cup, and we did nothing. So, I mean, can you think of anything more that should have inspired us more than missing out on the World Cup
no.
on the biggest stage?
No.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
We didn't do anything on the grassroots level. They did a lot on the top level, and I think that that's where the focus should be. I mean, listen, there's another issue here. Talk about the U.S. women's team and the pay for play, right? That they want to be paid more. Right. The problem is that the problem on the women's level isn't on the top levels where they're getting paid. It's on the bottom levels where we need more youth girls programs. We need to support more girls programs before they get to college.
And how much does it hurt that our passion is for football, not for football? And I know that that's slowly but surely changing in this country, because as we get more immigrants from soccer-laden countries, we're getting more of that influence. That's the one thing I could see in our town. You know, 20 years ago when we had the fusion, it just the demographics weren't the same. 20 years later, and generation later, now we've got more kids and more people from soccer countries, and now I think Inter's going to end up blowing up when they start next year. How much of that is a hurdle, or how much of it is less of a hurdle now because passion is building for that sport?
I think it's disappearing. Oh, the line of we're an American football country, we're a baseball country, is just evaporating. There are more kids in youth soccer than any other sport in our country. We have more girls in youth soccer in the U.S. than they have in any other country in the world. That line is evaporating. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons why is because of the head trauma.
Oh, yeah.
Less
football.
Yeah. Putting their kids in football, you know, and that's having an effect. You know, can you imagine 15, 20 years from now, those kids that were going to go into football but now are going into soccer? It's big, man.
So let me ask you something. Again, I'm asking out of pure ignorance here. I'm just going to take a shot here at this. Are we behind because we haven't done enough on the men's side? Are we ahead on the women's side because the rest of the world hasn't done enough to help out their women? And so we just happen to have great athletes in this country, and we could compete in any sport. We just haven't dedicated on the men's side enough to unearth those athletes. But on the women's side, because the rest of the world really isn't ahead of us, we could easily come up with the best athletes on the female side.
Okay, so this is just my opinion. You and I have known each other for a long time, so you're just going to get it straight here.
Yes.
On the men's side, we don't put the best 11 soccer players we have in this country on the field.
I agree.
I firmly believe that. I think that financial barrier is the reason why the United States isn't better than the rest of the world. I'm just straight up. That's why.
I agree.
On the women's side, I believe that our college, the Title IX college rules was what let us burst onto the scene. I mean, more female college scholarships were there. I think if we remove the barrier on the female side, on the grassroots level, we are only going to get better. So those are my two answers there. They may not be the most popular, but, you know, I think that's the truth.
If people want to find out more about what you're doing, you tell us. How can they get in contact with you to help you out? And maybe some other communities want to find out about what you're doing with Cutler Ridge Soccer and Little Haiti Football. So maybe they want to do it in their communities and make it more affordable for the kids in their communities.
You know, the great thing about this project, though, is the passion and the love for the work with those clubs. So I would say pay attention to Cutler Ridge Soccer and Little Haiti Football Club about what we're doing and what we have going on there, and the inclusivity that is now becoming a reality there. And then we'll start there. You know, VS is all about the work with the clubs. So all of the attention should go to the great visionary volunteers and coaches and organizers there first.
All right. Any website that we should refer people to, just out of curiosity?
like I said, we stick completely to the clubs. Vias is a company that works straight with the clubs. We're not about self-promotion. We're about getting the message out of inclusivity, removing financial barriers for parents, and giving kids more access to the sport.
That is awesome. Chris Corey joining us. Chris, we'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks, and we'll find out what's going on with it and how much you guys have advanced in all of this. But, man, I commend you for going out there, and you don't have to do this. You know, your kids are happy playing the game. Hell, one of your sons had a viral video that had, like, 4 billion downloads, as it is, with a crazy...
When your kid's more famous than you, it's tough.
Yeah. He got
famous. Not at all, man.
Your kid was on SportsCenter. That's how cool it was. So
I know, right? You play the sport your whole life, and your 9-year-old goes viral. It's pretty awesome, man. Yeah, he handled it really well.
That is awesome, man. Good stuff there. All right, Chris, thank you for taking some time, my brother. We'll definitely talk down the line, and we'll continue to promote this program, and hopefully other communities will follow and do the same thing and make it more affordable, and we can take out some of these folks that are out there just to make money and not really help the kids.
All right, thank you so much again. Appreciate
you got it,
it,
baby. Be good. There you go. Chris Corey, man. Good stuff there, as always. And it's something that is a worthy cause. Because when you're starting to eliminate a bunch of money for parents so their kids can go out and play soccer, and that's the other thing that, and he's right, we don't really put the best soccer players on the pitch. If we did, if we had our best athletes playing on the pitch, then, you know, it would be, we would be an elite country in that sport. And I think we will turn into that in the next 20 years because the sport is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the kids are going to gravitate more and more and more to it. And I think the MLS will grow significantly in the next 20 years. So, I mean, listen, we've got the best leagues in hockey and in basketball and in football and in baseball. Why shouldn't we have one of the best leagues in soccer? There's no reason at all.
When you think about it, the World Cup, the amount of money that our endorsers bring to the World Cup, we're a major contributor, you know, monetarily.
Oh, yeah.
So there's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't be able to turn this around, like you said, and from a monetary standpoint, dominate soccer from a professional level. Where's the MLS right now in the world? Seventh or eighth?
Yeah, something like sixth, seventh, eighth, or something like that.
That's pathetic.
I mean, well, it's not pathetic considering the other leagues have been around forever and they have established and all that. So if you're behind the Bundesliga, you're behind the Spanish Primera League, or you're behind Serie A or the Premiership, that's normal, man. That's normal. But 20 years from now, with our resources, we should be up there.
Or at least competing in the realm. I mean, to be sixth, seventh,
I think 20 years from now, they should be there in that mix.
It
takes our guys. We need American players to become international superstars.
Well, that's
once we get a couple of those guys, that will then inspire the rest of the country. Oh, dude, I want to be that. I mean, because if you really look at it, the kind of money they're making more money now in soccer than in most sports now.
Yeah.
So you have an opportunity. I mean, dude, they pay millions just for the rights to negotiate a contract with you.
Right.
That's crazy. So it has to get to a point where our youth is used to it now, that it's a way of life, that it's not just football and basketball and baseball and hockey. Hockey to a lesser extent, because it's really the first three sports. Well, and really the first two. Baseball is becoming less and less and less.
Is it one of our major issues when we get to international competition is the fact that there are a lot of our U.S. players staying here, obviously for the home, MLS, to push the soccer league, but really to get on a competitive level where the U.S. we need to go play international.
Pulisic plays overseas.
Yes,
exactly. He's our best player.
He led the Bundesliga in assists, didn't he?
I'm not sure if he led, but yeah, he had a hell of a year.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt that Pulisic is a heck of a player, but he shouldn't even be our best player. We have athletes that should be even better than him, but that's what it takes. Once a guy like LeBron picks up soccer, that's it. I'm not saying LeBron, but I'm saying an athlete of LeBron's stature takes up soccer, it's
Zion
over.
Zion Williams.
I don't know if Zion would be a good soccer player. Not sure.
He's got that same kind of man-child physique.
He's too big. He's too big. I don't know. Soccer players are small, man.
Yeah, most of them are like 5'9". They're not even 6 foot.
Yeah, I don't know if he would be good at soccer. See, I'm looking at LeBron like
all I'm talking about is
a guy
the
around the box.
Talking about is the physique.
You get an athlete like LeBron around the box where he can post up guys, where he could go up in the air with the header and all that. That kind of athleticism.
Oh, you're talking about set.
Yeah, I'm talking about
set or a corner kick.
That's what I would use a LeBron, a guy around the box like Brian McBride, what we used to have years ago in the U.S. team. You know, something like that. And then you've got to get, you know, guards that you see in the NBA that are going to be, you know, what's it called? Midfielders setting everybody up. That kind of stuff. But our guards are going to be 6'1", 6'3", like our midfielders. They won't be 5'9". But that's I've always asked this too about America. In our country, what happened to the short great athlete? Because he doesn't play football, he doesn't play basketball, he doesn't play baseball. Yeah, there's an Altuve and there's a Woodhead. There's a couple of those guys, right? There's a couple. But there aren't a lot. Most short guys are booted out of sports early on in America. By high school, they're telling you, yeah, you're a little too short to play the game.
Well, like you pointed out.
And then you'll never get to the NFL. I mean, the fact that Kyler Murray and those guys get there, it's a miracle. So where are all those short athletes that can't play American sports? How come those great short American athletes aren't playing soccer?
Well, it's like you pointed out yesterday. The NBA is finally making people put up their real size numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's crazy that our short athletes can't play American sports, and we have great short American athletes that could be playing soccer, could be actually world-class soccer players, but they're accountants, they're doctors, they're lawyers, they're working at Burger King, they're, you know, whatever, cutting your grass. It's nuts, because short athletes are turned away with a quickness. Weird, man.